Hello, everybody. Today is April 11th, 2016. This is the October Life Coach Training Cohort, Coach the Coach 3, Class 4, Group F as in Frank, with Chris. I see that Cy joined us and Ara also joined us, so hello to the two of you. I am glad to see your names pop up on my screen. And my apologies for the recording not working. I don't remember if I didn't record the call or if something happened. I could swear I made an announcement and hit record, but I don't know. In any case, I hope that you were able to listen to some other recordings or referred back to Group B, which is the other class that I taught in the morning last week. So my apologies again for that. How's everybody doing? How are the tools going for you? This is the practicum where we cram a lot of different tools in and people get all kinds of like, oh my God, I don't know how to use them. They don't feel intuitive. I can't figure out when or how. This morning we had a conversation about, could somebody please help me figure out how to put all these pieces together, because I'll be darned if I know. So we had a good conversation about that, and somebody admitted that they were feeling a little disconnected and they were feeling a little behind and all of that. So I will just I'll just take a moment to sort of settle myself in. I was telling some people I like scrambled up two eggs right before the call because I didn't have time to make anything else, and I was saying that we all need to slow ourselves down and just sort of settle into tonight. So, hi, Amy. I see that you joined us also. So what I'd like to just do for a second is have you imagine a circle. Just imagine that we're all sitting on the floor or the ground outside, and that there's a fire in the center of our circle, and that we are shoulder to shoulder, hip to hip. If you wiggled from side to side, you'd feel the shoulders of your neighbor on either side. And we've all got our legs stretched out straight, and our feet are in the circle, pointing into the center. And if we wiggled our feet from side to side, we'd feel the sides of one another's feet, too. We're that close. We're all sitting in community together by the fire, warming our feet by the fire, and warming each other and supporting each other in this journey we call learning about coaching. And just know that the circle will hold whatever we need it to hold tonight, whether that's fear, freaking out, whether it's joy, whether it's confusion, whether it's frustration, whether it's absolute giddiness about how much fun these tools are, whatever it might be, it's all good. Hello, Deborah. I see that you've joined us too. So with all of that said, I'm just really curious. How's everybody doing? Let's just check in. Does anybody need anything explained with regard to other tools? Does anybody have any questions about them? Anybody want to share anything they did in the way of practice? I'll shut up. You talk for a second. I'll take a sip of water.
I did a really great dream analysis on myself.
You did? Do tell.
This is Amy. I had a horrific nightmare Saturday to Sunday, and it was one of those dreams where you wake up at 4, like I woke up at 4:30 in the morning and I couldn't breathe. It was just so, so scary. And, the covers are up over my mouth and I'm kind of looking around the room. I didn't want to move. It was one of those really terrifying dreams. So at 4:30 in the morning, I got my pen and my notebook, and I wrote down everything. I went back to sleep, and then the next day, I did the analysis, and it took me a long time. And I almost posted in the group to see if somebody wanted to do it with me, but I just decided to do it by myself. And it probably took a little bit longer because I was doing it myself, but I got the most amazing message.
Good.
And after I analyzed it and read back, you know, everything and the purpose for everyone and everything in that dream, it was the most beautiful message. I was tearing up, and it just made me realize, and all of a sudden that scary, scary dream was laughable.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just amazing.
I love that.
Yeah.
I always feel like the nightmares are the best ones, because they're just so, I almost feel like the more dramatic they are, the more frightening they are, the more joyful or beautiful they'll be when you stop long enough to examine them for what they really are and hear the messages behind them. So I'm glad you had that experience. That's great, Amy.
Thanks.
Cool. Anybody else? Any tools you've been practicing, questions you have?
I find that, this is Aura, I find that the taking turtle steps and slowing down and breaking things into little bits is very helpful. Where I used to get like confused and stuck, I feel like I can make little constant motion.
Good.
In little steps.
Good.
I really like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely, turtle steps are no accident, right? And that actually is a lovely segue into what we're going to talk about tonight. But turtle steps are just the only way to live your life, I would argue. Because if you get things too big, at least I personally, get overwhelmed. And I think I've coached enough people at this point to say most people do. Case in point, today I spent a lot of time turtle stepping through something that felt so gigantic. I'm launching a new program, and I was just putting together all kinds of information about it and feeling like I have no idea what to do next and I don't feel like doing that and that just feels too big and it's going to take hours. And finally I just sat down at a Word document and said, just type whatever wants to come out, whether it's a list of things to do or whether it's some quote that inspires you that you want to include, just dump stuff. And 3 hours later, I took my hands off the keyboard and I never would have thought that was going to happen, but it was just, I gave myself permission to dump for 5 minutes and let that be enough. And it's, believe me, there's plenty more to do on it, but at least now I have something to grab onto. And I think that's, you know, it's just turtle steps are cumulative. And it's the only way we get anywhere. It's that old, you know, analogy, how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? Same thing here. So I'm glad that's working for you.
Yes,
Anybody else? Thanks, Aura. Anybody else? Hey, Patricia, I see that you joined us too, by the way. Hello.
Hi.
All right. Well, so tonight, what we want to talk about may feel a little bit like going backwards because I think of WIGS as a little bit more square two than square three, but WIGS are also a way to start segueing into square three. So I don't know how many of you had a chance to listen to the panel discussion recording. I want to say that somebody did because I remember them posting on the class thread that they thought it was really helpful. Oh, it was Laura. Mm-hmm. But I'm curious, how many others of you were able to listen in?
I did.
I did too.
Okay. It sounds like roughly half of you did. I would strongly urge the rest of you to make sure you listen to that recording because we put it in the last class of this practicum on purpose. And it was funny, this morning somebody said, I'm so glad that you did that because if I'd listened to that too soon, I wouldn't have made any sense to me. It's almost, and I think the way they were describing it was, I had to go through the frustrations of trying to understand how all these tools fit together before I could see that it's up to me to figure out any old way that I want to fit them together. And I thought that was a really interesting way to say it. It wasn't quite how she said it, but it was something like that. So with all of these tools in this practicum, we have been asking you to just really trust your instinct, trust your guides, you know, trust your inner wisdom, to know or feel into what wants to happen next. And sometimes as a new coach, that can feel really scary. And I invite you to let it be scary and just stick with it and see what wants to happen. Because the fear doesn't last long if you remain as present as possible with your client. If you breathe, if you're willing to say, I need a minute to figure out what I want to say next here. All of that, just it's almost like I think it was you, Aura, that just talked about turtle steps. I apologize. Maybe it was Amy. I'm getting my A's mixed up. Anyway, whoever it was that just talked about turtle steps, it's the same in a coaching session at this point. When a client starts to go into square two and then into square three, it's always about turtle stepping, and it's even about us as coaches turtle stepping our way through a session because we're feeling into what wants to happen just like our clients are. And I'll say more about that in a second. But the tool of the hour, so to speak, is wildly improbable goals. And what you'll see as I start to describe them and talk about them is that I can't help but interject or interweave things like the Find the Feeling tool and turtle steps and possibly even the three B's. And if you listen to the recording again, you'll really hear how I talked about that, Michael talked about that, Renee talked about that, Gretchen talked about that. We've all had experiences where they, you know, yes, they seem so separate and distinct as we teach them to you, but they very, very quickly all merge together and they become this kind of super tool. Michael was joking on the recording about his then 3-year-old, who's now 5. That's how old that recording is. How she was just using the word super, and so he kept using it during the conversation. It was pretty funny. But it is a good way to describe this sort of phenomenon that we're going to talk about tonight. So with that said, let's talk about wildly improbable goals. If you watched Martha's 6-minute video, you heard her talk about some goals that she had when she was, I think, 14, and she talked about wanting to learn how to ski and get ski equipment, and she talked about wanting a 10-speed bicycle, and she talked about wanting to go to Europe, and all of those things felt like, well, if she really thought about it, maybe they weren't impossible, but they were pretty wildly improbable. But she wanted to just play with that and see what would happen, and she talks about how she tried to find used skis for sale and how she, you know, ended up getting tickets donated to her family, and she and her sister were on a plane to Europe before she even had time to think about it. And so she talks a little bit about those, a variety of those experiences, and she talks about the fact that there's sort of this, it's by naming something out loud, it's by willing to dream a little bit bigger or state the wildly improbable goal out loud and then start to take small actions towards it that are what make it less and less highly improbable and more probable. And so with a wildly improbable goal, when you work with a client, sometimes they just have some pretty definitive ideas about what they want to work towards, but other times they're really groping in the dark. They have no idea. They're just suffering miserably. So I'll talk a little bit about both of those examples, and you can actually hear a fair amount of that in this morning's call, too, if you decide to listen to that one. We had a coaching session. We did two this morning. In the first coaching session, the client really knew something that they loved. Like, we talked about what is a beloved activity, and what we're referring to is actually on page – hold on, I'm flipping in my book to the right place. Page 304 in the paperback copy of Finding Your Own North Star. So if you have it handy, you can tune in there and follow along, or if not, you can just look for it later. But there's actually an activity or a discussion that goes on pages 304 and 305 called Making Your Own Wigs. And the starting point of that exercise and a place to start with a client who's sort of, you know, in my world, I do a lot of career coaching. They're in a soul-sucking job. They hate what they do. They know they want to do something different, but they don't know what it is. And so I spend a lot of time talking to them about what are their beloved activities, what are the things that they just really love to do. And we won't worry about monetizing them or turning them into a profession or a career at this point. We just want to explore what that is, and we want to have them you know, start feeling and playing with that warmer, colder game that you learned about. And so on page 305 in Finding Your Own North Star, some of the beloved activities that are listed there are things like exploring the internet, making people laugh, being with my European lover, volunteering for political campaigns, and so on. And then in the second column, the wildly improbable goal in that chart turns into from exploring the internet to starting my own .com company, from making people laugh to doing professional stand-up comedy, from being with my European lover to marrying my lover and moving to Europe, and so on. So they, all of them, regardless of how funny or weird or odd they sound, can all turn into, beloved activities can all turn into a wildly improbable goal. There's another one in the book that says jogging is a beloved activity, and a wildly improbable goal could be running the New York Marathon. So when in doubt about how to help a client dream and scheme, or when a client feels as though they have no goals or no direction in their life and they sure as hell would love some, a place to start is by looking at what are some of the things that they love to do. And just remember, everything Martha talks about is always about follow your feel good, follow the feeling, the sensations of joy and love, and that will bring you to your right life. That's what your essential self wants for you, and that's what everything in the universe wants for you. It wants to conspire to give you more of what you love. So it's about connecting with that. Related to wildly improbable goals is another tool called Find the Feeling. And there's information about all this. There's an excerpt from Steering by Starlight that was a separate PDF handout, and there's stuff in your binder as well. But Find the Feeling is really the important thing here. A lot of times people will say, well, you know, if I had a great boyfriend, then I'd be happy. If I was 20 pounds lighter, I would feel better about dating. If I had this great pair of Louboutin heels, I would feel more confident when I walked into a room. I mean, I'm making up somewhat silly examples, but not all of them really are. People assume that they will feel better in some way when they achieve some goal. And I think all of you are probably savvy enough at this point to recognize that it's not the high heels, it's not the boyfriend, it's not the body that has 20 pounds less on its frame. It's about having those feeling states now, because it's when you are in a place of appreciation, when you are in a state of experiencing the joy, the connection, the love, the freedom, which are usually the things that are at the heart of all those different things I was describing earlier. When you allow yourself to experience those sensations now without having gotten the heels, the boyfriend, the skinnier body, whatever it might be, the new job, the house on the beach. The interesting thing is that you're more likely to attract all those other things or something better, as Michael talks about in the recording that you might have listened to, the panel discussion. It's really about, Martha likes to say, circumstances do not create feeling states create circumstances. So it's kind of a conundrum, or it's a little bit backwards, but it's a really important thing. And so when you're talking with a client about goals and you're starting to do things like talk about the beloved activity that I mentioned a little while ago, what you can also do is see if you can suss out from the client, what is the feeling they get? Emotion, physical sensation, what are those feelings that they get when they are in their beloved activity, when they're doing it, when they're experiencing it? Because that's something that they can access now. And if they can begin to walk the world with that level of appreciation, excitement, freedom, and so on, they'll draw more of that to themselves. This will all make a lot more sense in a minute, but I want to stop here and just ask for questions. Who has questions about how these tools work? Who's played with them or tried them already? Nobody? No questions? Nothing?
This is Saskia.
Hi, Saskia.
Hi. I was just going to say, I do notice how the tools kind of merge nicely together, even with doing the wildly improbable goals. It kicked up my lizard, which was then I kind of, you know, I can see how they start to weave into each other, you know, and kind of help each other out in a way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Very true. And they sort of blur. It's not like with the dream analysis, there was this chart you complete. We have a little bit more structure there. With metaphor, we started to get a little bit more intuitive and a little more, let's just feel into this and see where it wants to go. With living space, same thing. Ask a couple of questions and then start seeing where it wants to go. And what you might want to do or how you might want to use the information that you get, whether it's thought work or whether it's the three B's, whether it's turtle steps, what do you do with the insights that start coming during the conversation? Same kind of thing here. as you work towards a beloved activity and start looking at what some goals might be, something that a client might aspire to do or try, you can then use a variety of other, you know, action steps, turtle steps, et cetera, to see what wants to happen next. So very fluid, for sure. Thanks for that, Saskia. Anybody else?
I also noticed, one other thing that I noticed was just by the wildly improbable goals, mm-hmm. it kind of like busted open my like goals in a sense, because I thought that I was having big goals, but then I was like, oh, so just like one step down from totally impossible. And then I got bigger, which was cool, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's a really important point is it's, you know, in corporate life, we used to talk about stretch goals. We used to talk about, you know, how can you push things, the envelope a little further? How can you play a little bit more out at the edge of your comfort? And I think it's that same type of phenomenon when we're talking about wildly improbable goals. And what you find is that the more you're willing to expand your thinking around what might be possible or trust that by taking some steps more will happen in your favor, your goals do start to get bigger and bigger. And, you know, going from mm-hmm. a 10-speed bike and used skis to owning a ranch in California, which Martha talked about at the end of the video, are very yeah. big and, you know, widely disparate in terms of their what do I want to call them? Their audacity, you know. Having a ranch in California is a hell of a audacious goal.
Yeah.
And yet it flowed, you know. It really flowed over time. And I think that that's part of what all of this is about, both from a coaching side of things as well as from a client's perspective, and that is tapping into the flow of abundance in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Tapping into the flow of abundance of tools in a coaching conversation, tapping into the flow of a conversation to see where it wants to go. So, yes, I agree. Things get bigger. Your life expands in proportion to how big you're willing to allow yourself to imagine. And I love that we have the capacity to help our clients do that when they're ready. Anybody else? Anything to add? Any questions about what we've been talking about so far before we dive into our first coaching pair? All right. Well, then let's get to it. The best way to play with this is to actually play with it in practice. So that's what we're going to do now. So, Amy, I think you might be the only person left who hasn't coached. Is that true? Did I miss something?
Did you say Amy?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I coached not last class, but the class before that.
Oh, okay. I must just not have written it down. Thank you.
Yeah, sure.
Then we've got everybody up to speed in terms of, you know, having coached already. So I will leave it to you, whoever, to volunteer to coach and to be coached. So who would like to play with letting someone coach them on their wildly improbable goal or trying to find something about what could potentially be a wildly improbable goal for them? I always think this one's delicious. I love getting coached on this. This is where everybody goes quiet. You've got four more classes of Coach the Coach Gang, and you know how this works. So let's step to it, please.
I'll coach. This is Saskia.
Okay. Who would like to be coached by Saskia?
This is Stephanie. I know I was coached last time, but I could volunteer if nobody else wants to.
Go for it, Stephanie.
Okay.
So Saskia, let's try and do, you know, let's try and make this whole session about 25 minutes. Note what time it is at your end of the world, and we'll see if we can kind of stay in that time frame.
Okay, may I ask a question beforehand?
Of course.
So I guess, you know what? I'll just figure it out as I go.
I love it.
Okay. All right. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
So this is kind of one of my favorite things, but will you tell me some of the things that you love doing?
Sure. I guess one of the things I really love doing is yoga. Other kind of things I love to do are to kind of just be outside in nature and go for walks and meditate, really just kind of to be kind of just with nature or outside. And I think I spend a lot of time indoors at a desk, so the things I love to do are really just to take care of myself outside of that.
Take care of yourself outside, it sounds like. And also, tell me how, if you're doing yoga, will you tell me kind of three adjectives of how you feel when you're doing it?
I would say calm, centered, and at peace.
Calm, centered, and at peace. Mm-hmm. And how about when you're in nature?
I honestly think those same exact words would apply.
Oh, so that's cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so it sounds like calm, centered, and at peace are really important to you.
Yeah, they really are.
Okay, now I'm going to jump to something. Could you imagine yourself, so if you close your eyes and you imagine yourself calm, centered, and at peace.
Mm-hmm.
Is there some thing that you would want to be doing or some place you'd want to be? Or some just amazingness thing that would be supporting you in that.
The first thing that came to mind, like the second I shut my eyes and you started describing that, was just to be kind of on a beach, like in front of the ocean and white sand and just kind of the waves, just looking out into the waves.
Cool. So I'm going to, I guess what I'm going to is, do you have like a wildly improbable goal that you can think of that brings you those things? I heard you say on a beach. Do you want to kind of go into that vision more? Or maybe when I say wildly improbable goal, something else pops into your head?
Yeah, so I guess I do kind of have a wildly improbable goal that I think about often, but for me it just seems like it'd be something way down the road. But I kind of have a vision.
Perfect.
I kind of have a vision of just like a big white house on a beach, and I kind of have my own business where it's centered around kind of yoga and life coaching and kind of health and that sort of aspect. And it's just a dream of mine, but it seems it would be very far away.
Well, that sounds like the perfect wildly improbable goal. So I have a big white house. I love that it's a big white house on a beach where you do yoga and coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of, I don't know if you said this, but I, like a wellness center, or did I just kind of?
Yeah, I didn't say that, but I guess that's kind of what I'm going towards, really just like naturalistic health type thing would be awesome.
And do you know where this beach is?
No, that's one thing. I don't know where this beach is.
Well, it's good to know that it's a beach. It's clearly near water. So something that kind of caught my attention is the big white house.
Yeah.
Which I just, it's so intriguing to me that you know that you want it to be a white house too, and a big white house. Can you see that house?
Yeah, it's funny. I have like an image of what the part like facing the water looks like. It's just pretty much all windows and it looks out into the water, and there's a really like big kind of brick like slate patio and like a grill there and possibly a pool, but it goes straight to the beach. It's crazy because I have just this image, but I've never seen it before.
I love it. I got the chills when you were telling me. I can, like, see it. It feels like it's so visible to you.
Yeah.
And when you see the house, is there anybody in it?
Yeah, it's funny. There is a man there kind of by the grill, and there's two children, which is probably weird, and also two dogs.
Oh, my gosh. I love it. Okay, so how old are the kids?
Really young, like toddlers. I think one's kind of in a playpen, and one is the man is holding.
Oh, my gosh. And tell me about the dogs.
I don't know what kind they are. I just know that there's two of them.
Okay. And what are you doing? In the house.
I'm out on the beach, and I'm just kind of, like, sitting there overlooking the water.
And, okay, so can you kind of be yourself on the beach looking out at the water and tell me how you feel?
Oh, it's like a huge smile on my face. I just feel so happy. It's like the dream I've always had, like, came true.
I love that. I have to say I'm kind of at a loss for words in this moment because I'm kind of riding on your happiness wave.
No, it's awesome. I've never actually, like, spoken it before. It's always just been something in my head, so it feels cool to talk about it.
Yeah, it sounds so clear, and like you can really visualize it and feel it.
Mm-hmm.
Just tell me, is there anything else that you see in this house or this man or these children? Does anything jump out at you?
Yeah, so I guess it's kind of crazy, but like the man that's there in my vision before for like a year or so, I would look and I never was able to like make out his face. But recently I met my boyfriend a couple of years ago and he kind of, his face appeared like in that. So that's like kind of weird. But then,
we
have a creek and it's awesome. And then also when I walk into the house, so like I can go in and I can kind of see the main area. It's really open. But on the walls, there's kind of like plaques or certifications and just kind of awards just for like great work I've done to kind of help people out and that sort of thing. Just kind of giving back to the world.
Awesome. I have a question for you. Can you walk up to those plaques and certifications?
Ooh, I never have before, but I could try.
You want to try? Give it a try?
Yeah. Let me see.
Or maybe it doesn't feel important.
Yeah, it's funny. I can't get anything like jumping out at me what it is. It's just, I just get this sense that it's like for really positive kind of things.
Yeah, I actually heard you say for giving back to the world.
Yeah, and just helping people.
So I notice that this feels like such a strong vision that, it feels like I can feel you in, you know, like I can feel the joy in it. So I wonder if there's a way you could take this feeling of this vision and is there just a little something you could do to bring this vision into your life now? Do you know what I mean? Like, be it symbol, like anything. Does that resonate with you at all?
Yeah. When you just said that, I almost just got the idea of getting like a seashell or something, like a white seashell, and having it out of my place. Just so when I looked at it, I'd like know it was my dream.
I love that.
Yeah, that'd be neat. I would. When I looked at that, I would be like instantly happy.
Yay. So a white seashell. And I kind of remember from the last time you talking about your room and how it maybe got kind of overwhelmingly messy. I don't know. Tell me where I might be wrong. I feel like this seashell will kind of like help create your vision and maybe like infuse your room with that or something.
I definitely agree. And I actually recently redid my bedroom and I pretty much made it an open space. And I had this old picture I forgot about in my closet, and it was a picture of a beach, and I put it on the wall. So I feel like this seashell would be perfect to put right by it.
Oh, perfect. Yay. I love that. So I'm feeling, well, I guess I'm checking in with you, Stephanie, and you, Chris, because I feel like that was a ending point, and I actually haven't looked at the time, so I don't know if I should keep going or end it.
You have at least 15 more minutes.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Okay, cool. Wow. I got caught up in your dream and lost track of time.
That's awesome.
Okay, so let's keep going.
Okay.
Well, how do you feel with the ending of that? Do you want to keep going with that, or do you want to move on to something else? How do you feel?
Yeah, no, I actually feel like that's a perfect closure for that dream. Now I want to go find a seashell, so I wouldn't mind moving on to something else.
Okay, cool. Let's do that. Let's go for another wildly improbable goal. You want to?
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Do you have one that's bubbling up for you, or do you want to talk about different things that you enjoy?
One actually came to my mind that I haven't thought of in a little bit when we were talking about looking at kind of the plaques on the wall and what they said or anything. And I had this kind of vision/dream for a couple of years now, and it's me being on like a TED Talks type talk. And I don't know what I'm talking about, and it sounds crazy, but I feel like it's on along the lines of what I want to do. But I just have the vision of me kind of getting ready and like walking onto the stage and looking out into the audience, and I see my family there. But I don't know what I'm up there talking about or anything, but it's just a crazy, like, proud feeling.
You have strong visions, huh? Okay, I love that. So let's do your TED Talk a little bit and see if you can get any information for yourself. Do you want to?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so how about if do you know what you're wearing?
I feel like I'm wearing a professional kind of just like a black skirt and a black blazer and like a kind of a lightish blue top underneath and heels.
Okay. And when you're let's say you're about to go on and you're like in the wing of the stage and you check in with yourself. And you take a deep breath. Can you feel how you feel? Or can you tell me how you feel?
Yeah, it's like kind of like a shortness of breath because I'm nervous, but then there's also like a calming feeling like this was always meant to be and I'm ready. Well, it's exciting.
You're ready and meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm just writing some things down.
Okay.
Okay, so now if you can take a deep breath and let's imagine that they announce your name to come onto your TED Talk.
Mm-hmm.
And you walk out. Will you tell me about it?
Yeah, I feel like I have a huge smile on my face. And everybody's I'm smiling right now, but
I love it.
Everybody's just kind of clapping, and the first thing that comes to my mind is just like an image of my family kind of in the front row, and I just like feel really proud of what I've done. I still don't know what I'm talking about, but it's just like it's just like complete elation, just like so happy and proud.
Mm-hmm. So I just had kind of a hunch, and tell me where I'm wrong. This is going to kind of pull you out of the vision, which we can go back to it. But I've heard you talk also of your job of data entry, and I'm hearing you so strong in your vision and so happy. Like there's this joy and calm and certainty about it. There's like a real certainty. That I'm wondering if maybe there's such frustration at your job because you have this certainty in your future.
Yeah. You hit the nail on the head there. And that's, I feel like that's what I'm struggling with the most, is that like I have these kind of visions and dreams, and I know like there's so much greatness kind of for me to get to, but it's frustrating seeing where I am right now. And there's like a disconnect between where I am and where I want to go. And that's
right
on the day to day. Yeah. And it kind of gets me out.
And it's almost like, and tell me where I'm wrong. It's like maybe something that I would do, but it's like I'm mad at what I'm doing now because I know I want to be doing something else.
Nope. Yep. You got it exactly. Summarized how I feel kind of on the day to day.
So I don't really know if this is a tool, but I'm just going to, if I shouldn't do this, Chris, I'm wondering if there's like little ways that you could make your job like part of the magic of finding your future. Like I think that the finding the breadcrumbs along the way, like if there's some way you could almost like bring your present and your future together some way and see how they could connect. I don't know. It's just a little like playful idea because it doesn't sound to me like you're ready to quit your job tomorrow. Yet you have your vision so strongly.
And I would actually really, really like to try to figure something like that out. I've been trying to switch the way I look at my job. I try to like look at it as it's almost something that can provide for me like my dreams because I have to make the money. Because I've been able to do things like pay for this coaching program, and I just started a yoga teacher certification program, which is awesome. So it's like almost use the money that I'm making from my job to provide for these dreams. But like you said, I really would like to figure out a way that I can still go into work and enjoy it a bit, so I can kind of connect the two instead of being like, this is the job I hate, and then after work I can do stuff I love. I don't know where to start with that, though.
Well, tell me, what does it look like where you work? Do you work in a cubicle?
Yeah, yep, I work in a cubicle, and since I joined, it's kind of gone like really downhill. Most of the analysts are like my age, and there's only two left that joined before me. Another girl just quit today. So it's kind of like a not depressing environment, but it's a straining environment on everybody.
Do you have, I hear that sounds kind of sucky to put it bluntly. Do you have anything in the cubicle? This is what I'm getting at. Is there something you could visually bring for yourself to remind you of your strong, wildly improbable goals? When I say strong, I mean they're like very, very vivid and clear. Is there something that you could just glance at and you could remind you of these things?
Yeah. You know, once in a while I'll bring like a book that, anything from like Martha's books or something else just to be there on the table. But if I had like an image, I don't know what it would be, but yeah, something to remind me of my goals. I feel like that would be a really good reminder as to the progress I'm making, and like this is just a step. I don't know what I would bring though. I don't know why I'm getting stuck.
Can I throw something out?
Yeah.
So I had this thought, like, what if you had a seashell there and your wall of certifications? You would totally like make your own play, like just paper certifications that could kind of lighten your heart around it. You know, like
yeah.
even funny ones that made you laugh. And you can
yeah.
just look at it and be like, oh, my gosh, I already have a wall of my certification.
Oh, my God, I honestly love that idea. That would be so cool.
Yeah, you could be, like, best data entry person of, like, April.
Yeah. Yeah, or even just, like, yeah, funny ones, or even to me, if I saw ones that were maybe just how I would feel if I, like, looked at my real wall, or real wall, my dream
yeah.
wall. And like so.
Yeah, exactly. You know, no, you should call it your real wall. I like that.
Yeah, that would be neat. I actually like that idea a lot because my cubicle is actually really bare because I always told myself it would be easier to make the move out. So that would.
Well, you know what's funny? Sometimes it happens. I think when you really embrace something and like
yeah.
you kind of like get into your cubicle. It might be the fastest way out of your cubicle.
Yeah. No, you're right. And I guess I didn't think about that, but I really like that idea you suggested. I'm going to do that.
Cool. Yay. So we have two little turtle steps.
If yeah.
you can call them that. One is the shell.
Mm-hmm.
And for your, I think you could do it in your room and in your cubicle if you wanted.
Yeah.
And then the other one is the wall of certifications and plaques.
Yeah, I like that. And actually, for some reason, an idea of getting a picture of, like, a beach keeps coming to me for my desk. So almost I think that would be really cool.
Perfect. Yeah. Oh, I have another idea. Can I give it to you?
Yeah, definitely.
You know the TED Talks kind of logo, that like red and black?
Yeah.
You could print that up and put it in your cubicle.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to do that. Yeah. I really like what you've done of kind of making my dreams, having like a physical representation of them, because to me that almost feels like it is bridging the gap between kind of my dream world and the real world, and that it makes it feel more real. So when I look at it, I think it'll instantly make me feel how I feel if I were to have my dream. So that's really awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I notice when you're talking, you seem really, really visual. Like your wildly improbable goals are so clear. So I imagine having some visual things around you.
Yeah.
Maybe a good thing to like, you know, just continue changing what's around you to kind of support you in your goals.
Yeah, I like that a lot. And it never really dawned on me. It always, in my mind, I'm always like, okay, what can I do to work towards it? But it's all kind of been in the imaginary sense and to bring it here. And like you said, build around it. That feels really good to me. It's exciting.
Yeah. Wait, I got it. I have another idea if you're open to it.
Definitely.
What if you – do you have a black outfit with a light blue shirt? Do you have, like,
yeah.
an outfit like that?
Yeah.
What if you wore it to work?
Oh, it'd be awesome. I could wear my black – yeah, I mean, definitely I could. I do sometimes anyways.
You could just start rocking that and, like, feel what it feels like to be in that outfit that you're going to do the TED Talk in.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I love that idea. I like can't stop smiling. I'm so excited.
Yay. Cool. Well, again, I unfortunately keep losing track of time. So, Chris, will you just tell me how much more time we have?
Well, you're bringing up a really beautiful teachable moment, and that is, how do you keep track of time while you're coaching?
Yeah, exactly.
So
I'm clearly going
to
need
do,
to like set a timer.
Right. Yeah, because one of the things that, you know, that being a coach means is also stepping into your leadership energy. And your leadership energy doesn't mean bossing people around. It doesn't mean setting a timer and having it go in the middle of a very important conversation that you're having with a client. It doesn't mean that kind of thing. But what it does mean is just sort of every once in, you know, if you're sitting near a computer or you're sitting, you know, if you have an Apple Watch or a clock or, you know, everybody's got some kind of a microwave. Everyone's got some kind of device near enough that they can just sort of glance down at it and take notice. Right, just, you know, I said, look at the clock and see where you are, notice what time it is, and then notice again. Because that's something that's part of this process is you don't want to get to a point where your session is about to end and your client has just revealed something that's very emotionally laden, that's very painful, that sort of thing. So it's always a good idea to just keep awareness around what is going on with your client. I love that you dove in and got so excited about your client's vision, and you know, Stephanie painted some beautiful pictures about what was going on. She had lots and lots of visions and images. But that's just something to notice for yourself, Saskia. So I'm glad you had the opportunity to figure that out tonight.
It's very clear that even because I looked at the clock and took notice, but I noticed I go someplace very different, and then coming back to like time related stuff, I'm all of a sudden I'm like, I have no clue again. What, like, an alarm, like in a, you know, something that literally shows me you have 4 minutes left, you know?
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. And there's lots of, you know, ways to figure that one out. Michael Trotta talked about that in the Square 3 panel discussion recording, where he thinks about Square 2 as a loss of time and space. It's not as important. And as he put it, not so delicately, you know, shit gets real in Square 3, you know, where people are really having to step into the real world and find out where it feels like, oh, crap, this is a whole lot harder than I thought it was going to be, kind of thing. So when you're dreaming and scheming with your client, it's really easy to go, wee, this is great. And all of that is beautiful. You don't want to stop that, but you do want to just be sensitive to, you know, well, we've got a few minutes left. How would you like to spend it? Or let's see if we can put together some concrete ways for you to take some steps towards these goals, which is what you were doing, right? You talked about the shell. You talked about the idea of decorating, having Stephanie decorate her cubicle with some, you know, some humorous awards, wearing the clothing that she so vividly described when giving her TED Talk. You know, all those things are wonderful. So that's the kind of stuff that you do as you're moving towards the closing bell, if you will, of your coaching session. So, glad you brought that up. And one thing that I love that Stephanie asked and that I was dying to pounce on as a coach and didn't, because I'm really trying to just shut up while you guys do these sessions, just to see where they want to float, you know, because your session just was really fluid. You were worried at one point about whether something was a tool or not, and I was listening and I was just letting it all go, because that's what becoming intuitive as a coach looks like. Like, oh, I don't need to know the label of this tool. I don't need to know the name of this tool. I don't have to follow a certain sequence here. I'm just going to go where it seems like I'm supposed to go. And that's exactly what happened. And ironically, a lot of what you were describing when you were working with Stephanie was a version of the three B's. And this, how do I better my cubicle? Well, I decorate it with my dreams, right? That's bag it, barter it, and better it right there. You know, I'm going to better my cubicle. I'm going to make that sucker look like it's the cubicle of a person who's got a future that is so bright, it's insanely good. And, you know, I'm going to cue up all sorts of visuals for myself to remind myself that this sucker is not forever. But while I'm here, I'm going to make it better than it was before. And I'm going to feel into what I want. So you know, you were using your version in that moment for that session of the three B's, of better it. Even if you never trotted out the words, let's talk about the three B's, Stephanie.
Right.
That was what was going on. So what all of us were listening to was a session unfold based on pure instinct. Tell me where I'm wrong about that, Saskia.
No, you're so right, and I'm glad that I didn't ask you the question in the beginning, because I think I would have been following what you may have told me, and instead I just let myself go.
Yeah, yeah. That's what we're playing with here. In class four of practicum three of four practicums, we're starting to get into just let it flow. And that's what Coach the Coach 4 is going to be all about. It's just let it rip. There's no tool requirements there. Yeah, we'll talk with you guys about ideal day in class 1 probably. But, you know, that's more of what we're doing already. It's more of this idea of imagining, visioning, stepping into what needs to happen, you know, all of that kind of thing. So it's really about where do you as a coach start helping your client by stepping into leadership energy. And not bossing the client around or saying, we have to use these tools or any of that, but just leading the session. Oh, so tell me about this. Oh, noticing, really noticing what it is they're saying. And then following those leads and yet kind of holding the ability, like creating a container and holding all of it so that, you know, if a client says something like Stephanie did, I have a big white house by the beach and there's a man and there's two dogs and there's plaques and certifications. You were able to have your client walk up to that wall and look at those plaques and certifications. You were able to remember that and use it later on when she started talking about work. You were able to remember this idea of the beach and bring it back to the cubicle with the idea of putting a shell there. So what you were doing was taking all the disparate pieces of what your client started to allow herself to say out loud about her hopes and dreams and create a space for her in which to do that safely and for you to just start playing with it. And I mean play in a lovely way, in a loving way. And there was nothing about that process that was about, now I must follow this flow and it has to come out this way and it needs to go in a certain direction by a certain set of standards, if that makes any sense. Hopefully it does. So that's where coaching gets to be a whole flipping lot of fun. And you get to a whole new level in that you're just really allowing yourself to see where it wants to go, which was the phrase I kept using today. And as you play and as you practice and as you listen to what your gut's telling you, this is where it becomes easier and easier and easier. It takes a while. You're going to find that there are spots where you go, yeah, gosh, I lost track of time. And I don't know. I have no idea how much time I have left. What? I have how many minutes? Are you kidding? I had no idea. You know, all of that stuff will sort itself out. Oh, my gosh, wait, what tool was I using? Was I supposed to use a tool? What am I supposed to do now? Like, all that stuff will still happen for a while until it doesn't need to happen anymore. And it's different for all of us, and it's different with each client. But that's the direction in which things are flowing for you guys, and it's so much fun to watch that happen. I love this, because if you think back to where you were in Coach the Coach 1, where Say More felt like, oh, my God, I don't know what to do. Have I counted five whys? What theory? I'm supposed to have a theory? You know, all of that stuff is now starting to become a whole lot more natural for you. And there are plenty of places that even with wildly improbable goals, you could go with a client. In this case, Stephanie didn't necessarily fling out any particularly stressful or painful thoughts, but it's not uncommon when you're working with a client that they feel like, oh my gosh, this will never happen. I don't even know why I'm letting myself even talk about this because this is just so ridiculous. Who the hell is ever going to find, how the hell am I ever going to find a house at the beach? And I'm not, there's no way, right? Great. Well, then guess what? Time to go back to square one a little bit and do some thought work. Check out what is it that's making a client believe that they are not ever going to be able to see that dream come to fruition or a version thereof. So that could come, you could find metaphors, who knows, all kinds of things come up when you start playing with this stuff. And that's the beauty of when you get into these more intuitive square two and square three tools. So I just wanted to point all of that out while we were debriefing around this particular coaching session, but I'd like to squeeze another one in too. But before we do that, I want to ask a question. Who has questions? Who has observations? Who has anything they want to share about what they might have wanted to try had they been the one coaching, Stephanie?
I just thought it was really beautiful.
Cool. Thank you.
It just flowed so nicely, and it was a real joy to listen to both of them.
Mm-hmm.
I
would agree.
Yeah.
I would agree. Anybody else? Anything that they heard, saw, have a question about? Nothing? You're good?
I just noticed that she talked about feeling proud a lot, and she saw her parents out there, her family, and they were proud of her, and she just mentioned, you know, she would feel proud of herself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that may be something worth exploring, or, you know, then again, it depends upon, you know, Stephanie, we're not being coached by Saskia for the first time. If Saskia had more experience with Stephanie or knew a lot more about her, maybe that pride clue would be something that she'd want to explore with her a little further. Like, what does it mean to make your family proud? Why is that important? And it may seem obvious or it may not. Again, you're just poking around. It's really about whatever feels like an intuitive hit to you in the moment when you're coaching. But, yeah, I noticed that too. Glad you saw that. Anybody else? All right. Well, thank you to both Saskia and Stephanie for that. And I love that, you know, the places that you started in terms of turtle steps, because that was going on there also, was just bettering the cubicle, right? That was where, and I say just, and I really, it sounds so negligible, and I don't mean that. I mean, that's a tiny place to start, and yet it's a way that the first turtle step was giving voice to some dreams that hadn't necessarily been voiced before, at least in this way, in this time. And so that was step one. Step two was, I'm going to start bettering the place in which I spend a chunk of my day. And that's going to start putting those reminders about where I'm headed in front of me. And that's going to start creating the feeling states that I'm looking for. And then if Saskia were to continue working with Stephanie over the course of time, you could keep following up on that with more steps and more, you know, insights would come where Stephanie would report back to Saskia and go, you're never going to believe what happened when somebody noticed the TED logo pinned up to my cubicle wall and asked me about it. And I had this great conversation with somebody about wanting to eventually give a TED talk, right? Stranger things have happened, you guys. So this would sort of be a continual thread or something that you could build on with a client over the course of many sessions. All right, you two. Thank you. Thank you. So who would like to coach and be coached? And let's play some more. Oh, and I do want to say one more thing about this because I forgot. Stephanie said something, a question that I thought was so much fun that I wanted to pounce on, and that was, what can I do to work towards it? And I so wanted to say to Stephanie, what can I do to play towards it?
Mm.
And in essence, Saskia, what you were doing was helping Stephanie play by creating funny awards and plaques in her cubicle and start being playful about throwing a TED logo up somewhere where she can look at it. And, you know, that was playful and it felt light. But so often our clients feel like they have to work really hard towards their goals. And sometimes it's really fun to challenge that and say, how about we play towards your goals?
Mm.
And that just feels downright revolutionary.
And so fun.
I throw that out there just as something to notice in your clients and in yourselves too. All right. Who else would like to coach and be coached?
I just wanted to thank Saskia again. I feel so great after that coaching session. So thank you.
I'm glad.
Yay. What's interesting is I feel so great too. So it was fun to play with you.
Thank you.
All right. Who else wants to jump in? The silence is deafening. you guys. Come on.
I'll be a client.
Who said that?
Amy.
All right. Who'd like to coach Amy?
Don't all jump at once.
Now, Amy's going to get a complex. I'm kidding. Really?
Meanwhile, I probably have like 4 or 5 buddies on this call I talk to every week.
And they're all hanging back thinking somebody else should do it. All right, buddies, let's go. All right, I'm not wasting any more time. Let's get to it, Amy. I'm coaching you.
Tell me,
what's going on?
All right.
Start thinking about wildly improbable goals. What's the one that sings out?
I want to write a book.
Say more.
I have wanted to write a book for a while. Mm-hmm. And I don't know exactly what I want it to be about. Well, I do kind of, but I have like these thoughts of writing my story. Like I think next week is the power of our story, right? That class. And I'm super excited about it because I know that my story is why I'm here.
Mm.
And I know that my story is going to help a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to get it in book form.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I feel like, you know, it's funny because I look at where I was a year ago. A year ago this month, I started with a life coach, with a master life coach, Linda Bucher. And never would I have imagined I'd be where I am today. In this class, becoming a life coach. A month ago, I threw out on Facebook looking for help, looking for people to be my practice clients. I got 11 people signed up to coach.
Mm-hmm.
Where I was a month ago versus where I am today, night and day. I still don't like coaching on these calls, but that's something entirely separate. When I'm one-on-one with somebody and coaching them in a session, I'm alive. And I want to write about this, and I want to be able to put together this story, because all of this happened because of my cancer.
Mm-hmm.
That's what started all of this. And I just, like, it's, I want to tell that story about no matter what happens, no matter what diagnosis you get hit with or what kind of crap life throws at you,
mm-hmm.
you have the power. You have the ability.
You free.
Yes. So that's what I want to write my story about, and it makes me very emotional, as you can tell.
Mm. So what's stopping you from writing your story?
What's stopping me? I don't know where to start.
Because you said wildly improbable. So what's improbable about telling your story in book form?
Will people really read it?
Oh,
will people be...
Okay.
You know, but will people be interested? Will, you know, is it something that I just think is really great that, you know, people are like, who cares?
How do you want to feel when you write your story? When you share your story in book form? I'm going to keep kind of using the words in book form in there just to...
Yeah.
Because there's lots of ways to share a story, but book was what you started with, so...
Yeah. I want to feel the word empowered is really coming to mind right now. But as I, you know, I've participated in other groups and other little, you know, things that have gone on Facebook and whatnot, and I've shared, you know, bits and pieces of it. And when I write, like when I finally do know what to say and I start typing it up or handwriting or whatever, like I just like, it's like this feeling of like, oh, like amazing. Just, I feel incredible. It feels very free. It feels like I really accomplished something. Like I've really accomplished a lot of things. And
so
I'm proud.
When I hear you say, when I felt you saying what you said, I felt relief. I felt freedom. I felt release, S-E, as in letting go, and relief, I-E-F. I heard a little confidence too. Tell me where I'm wrong on all of that.
No, you're not wrong.
Off. Okay. So
I think.
Go ahead.
I was going to say I think the big thing for me is, with everything else that's going on right now, when do I start this? What, you know, there's, you know, we're putting a website together and, you know.
Here they come. Here they come. Can you feel them?
The excuses?
I don't even have to say the word, you know. Yeah. Or and it may not even be excuses, honey. I'm just playing with you. It could also be the realities of your life. It could be a whole number of things. But let's go back to that feeling for just a second. Oh.
Yeah.
That's the sensation that I experienced and almost that you physically expressed a moment ago when I asked you about what would it feel like to have, you know, written a book or however I phrased it. I don't remember exactly what I said. But so let's just imagine for a second that you get to have that feeling. Oh. What are you willing to do for that feeling?
You know, it's funny because I actually love writing.
Excellent.
And
that's happening right there.
Well, right? And yeah. My husband's helping me with my website. And he said to me yesterday, he's like, all I want you to do is...
I'm not talking about your website right now. I'm not talking about your website. I'm purposely steering your brain away from that.
Okay.
I'm purposely steering your brain away from that. I don't want to talk about your website. I'm sure it's a wonderful struggle, and your husband loves that you write, and he says you can write, so why is that so hard? I get all that. And I'm, like, purposely steering you away. So I apologize for being pushy. And I just want to go back to, oh.
The empowerment, right?
Yeah.
The confidence.
Ooh. That's heady. Tell me where I'm wrong.
You're not wrong.
Okay. So, let's just take a moment to imagine that you've got 5 minutes. Five stinking lousy minutes. To write something. What's the first thing that wants to get written? Is it sitting at a typewriter? Is it sitting at a legal pad? Is it sitting at a computer? Is it talking into a digital recorder? Is it just imagine that you're spending 5 minutes on this thing called writing and however you define that. What do you see?
I'm at my computer.
Okay.
And
I'm typing. That didn't sound so positive, but I could be wrong.
I think that for me, just letting it flow. You know what? No, it's my notebook. It's my notebook and my pen. And just letting it flow, just letting the words come out and just pour out.
Mm-hmm. There we are.
Without it having to be perfect, right?
Yeah.
Like
setting up your computer feels too serious. Feels like you have to have the right formatting and the right letters and the right font. You have to have an outline and blah 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 blah.
Yeah. It's too structured.
This spot right there where those tears came.
Yeah.
Just letting it out.
Just writing. Whatever comes, just letting whatever comes up.
Can you do that for 5 minutes tomorrow?
I can.
Cool.
Yeah.
When do you think you'll do it? Is there a time that comes to mind? There may not. I don't know.
Well, I mean, part of me would like to do it tonight.
Go for it. There's no rule that you have to do it tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, part of me is feeling very inspired to just go upstairs after this call and lay in bed and just write.
Okay.
And just whatever comes up, just let it flow onto the paper. And, yeah.
Honor that. Honor that. Just that.
Yeah.
No worries about the book cover and the website and the jacket and how it's going to look and who's going to think what and SEO and blah, 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 blah.
I know.
I vomit all over
God.
That. I'm kidding. Yeah. But my point is that's getting way ahead of yourself, right? That's all the stuff you'll worry about down the road. You can hire somebody to do it for you. You can, you know, you're not there. That's not, right? I get to tell my story. I get to talk about this cancer thing in a way that rocked me to my core and made my life so different and made it so damn beautiful. It was worth every tear I've shed.
Yes, 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 all of that.
Yeah.
And then the second part of this.
Here's my little totally irreverent, cover your ears if you don't want to hear a curse word except you. You have to stay on the phone with me, Amy. Fuck the outline. Fuck the computer. Fuck who cares about who buys it or any of that shit. Fuck it all. Okay, I'll stop cursing now.
I love it.
Give breath and life to your breath and life.
I see all
feel,
of that.
Does that feel like, yeah? Do you get that? Like a puppy wiggling when his tummy gets rubbed?
Yeah.
You feel that?
Mm-hmm.
Something tells me that's kind of like the feeling you want to have. That's just what came to me. I have no idea why.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. When I write this story, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Without all the nonsense, like with all that stuff you just described, it all seems like noise right now. I don't need it.
Yeah,
because it doesn't matter.
And that's why I interrupted you when you started talking about your website, because your brain was going,
yeah.
Process, 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 process. And I'm like, no. We're not having a conversation about how. We're not doing any of that.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about how do I play towards my book. Not how do I work towards my book. How do I play towards my book? I get
that word.
The delicious looking notebook imaginable. It's pretty. I love it. And it's got a really cool feel to it when I put pen to paper. There's just the right texture. There's no scratchiness. It all just flows, and the font, the fine point or the big nubby point, whatever it is, feels right. You feel all those sensations. Can you imagine what it feels like to put pen to paper or pencil or marker or pastel or crayon to paper in your notebook? Can you feel
mm-hmm.
your hand on the page?
Oh, yeah. I'm looking at the book right now. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Just stay there. Just stay right there. That tiny. 5 minutes. And if you spend 10, the police will not come. But if you spend an hour and feel like, oh, no, I've got to get another word, the outline's got to be written because who's going to stop?
Yeah.
How can I play towards this delicious feeling where I wiggle with excitement and I get so, so happy that I just want to cry? Can you feel that?
Mm-hmm.
Can you let yourself imagine 5 minutes on another day this week?
On another day this week?
Yeah. Should we go a little braver and just maybe have you do 2 days of 5 minutes?
What's so funny is you these five minutes, I mean, when you look at it that way, it doesn't count.
My brain wants to say it doesn't count.
No, but no. It's 5 minutes of play. Like, how easy? Like,
yay.
How easy is that?
Okay. Good.
You know what? When I look at it that way, it's like, yeah.
Uh huh. Excellent. Takes about as long as it takes Stephanie to cut out a TED logo and put it up on her.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah,
That's about how long it's going to take, because she'd have to go on the internet and print out, you know, find the TED logo, copy and paste it into a document so it's Word and she can print it out and it comes out of the printer and she has to get scissors. I'm figuring that's 5 minutes. Same thing
for
you.
Yeah,
You're
so
just
doable.
You're just writing a sentence, or you're writing, I remember when I had my first chemo treatment. I'm making it up. I don't know what it was for you, you know, but it's just, whatever wants to fall out. Just like a coaching session. Whatever wants to fall out.
Yeah.
Trust that it's good enough, that it's beautiful, that it's absolutely what's right, that it goes, ooh, yeah, more of this. You can't see me, but I'm rubbing my hands together like,
yeah. No, I can feel it. It just, yeah, yeah.
Can you give yourself that feeling a couple times this week?
Definitely.
Will you honor your story that way?
Yeah.
Okay. Does this feel like a good place to stop for the moment?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you.
I'm going to ask one more favor. Will you post on the discussion thread when you've done it once?
Yes. I definitely will.
And maybe Stephanie will also post for us too. All right.
Thank you, Chris.
So who has questions? Comments, concerns? Total freakouts. What's going on?
Chris, you know what's really coming to me is this concept of how can I play towards my wig?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's really striking a deep chord for me, because I find that getting mired in things like perfectionism and so forth takes the play out. So giving myself permission to play, even if it's a little baby step or a turtle step, just makes it so much more awesome.
You guys, I love that you just said that. And you guys, the biggest challenge for me is always when I want to say, I'm not working hard enough. It has to be hard. It has to be hard. I have to work hard. Nothing counts if I didn't work hard. And man, if that one doesn't beat the crap out of me every single time.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep hearing, you know, Martha, gosh, this is going back a long time. Dan, I wish I could remember his last name. Of course, I'm totally spacing on it, and it'll probably come to me 10 minutes after we get off the phone. Dan somebody or other, I'll post about it on the discussion thread when I remember, has a site. If you Google intentional resting, you'll find him. He's got, like, gray curly hair. He looks like a California hippie, and I think he is. And Dan, whatever his last name is, talks about intentionally resting into something. I rest into my desire to write a book. I rest for my beach house. I rest for my hiking in California, which was somebody's wildly improbable goal this morning. I rest into. Remember Martha talks about the cycle of rest and play. She refers to it in Diana herself. If you guys have gotten the advanced reader's copy of that book that's coming out, it's all about rest and play. There's nothing in there about working hard. You know, there's an old expression called work like a dog. Martha always says, have you ever really watched a dog work? Their tail's wagging. They're really into it. They're losing all track of time. They're having so much fun. Maybe working like a dog isn't really so bad. Right, but when you're tired, you rest, and you rest for your book, and you rest for your TED talk, and you rest for packing the box of stuff in your cubicle and saying bye-bye. I play into what wants to happen. I look for delight, because that's finding the feeling, you guys. What all of us wants more of is the ability to play or the ability to feel light and joyful. And so we turn around and go, oh, I've got to work really hard on my goal. I'm not kind of finding that feeling so well, right? So it's just about how do I play for this? And you just saw it in such this tiny little microcosm of a session with Amy where I just said, so tell me about your book. Where do you imagine doing it? And she's like, my computer. I mean, she sounded like Eeyore, if you remember Winnie the Pooh, like, okay, if I have to. And I thought, no, 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 no. And then all of a sudden she went, oh, no, I see it. It's my notebook. Totally different energy. And when she wanted to start telling me about, you know, her website, I could tell she was going to tell me all about her husband and how he says she's such a good writer and he doesn't understand why it's so hard and she writes so well. No, because that's her brain wanting to go, why is this so hard? Like, so it's all about us just noticing, where could our client lighten up? How could we help our client make this small, make this feel doable, make this feel so ridiculously easy that we're willing to take one little teeny tiny step along the way. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Anybody else have any questions?
This isn't really...
It's Dan Howard.
Sorry. Whoops. Dan Howard, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody else said, this is, and then I didn't hear the rest of it.
Oh, I was just going to say, this isn't really a question, but it's more a comment. What you're talking about reminds me of a beautiful story, and I'll tell a short version of it, that the poet David White often tells about being absolutely exhausted and going to his dear friend, Brother David Stendhalrath, and asking him, Brother David, what's the antidote for exhaustion? And that feeling that we all get when we just can't put one foot in front of the other, you know? Mm-hmm. And Brother David says to him, the antidote for exhaustion isn't rest, David. It's wholeheartedness. And so when I'm here listening to this conversation, I'm thinking about what is it that brings you to your wholeheartedness?
Yes.
Beautiful.
Beautiful
examples of this, you know, tonight, both, you know, the coaching that we heard the first time, and you're so short and simple and yet getting right into that wholehearted feeling. It was just beautiful to observe both of them. So that was just my little comment.
Good, good. Well, thank you for that. Anybody else? Brené Brown talks a lot about wholehearted living. I'm totally a fan, so. I appreciate hearing about wholeheartedness. It's a good reminder. And really, to think about it, that's what you want. Put your whole heart into something. Mm-hmm. I would venture to say that's what made Amy's tears come, putting her whole heart into the idea of that book.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So we kind of went a little bit all over the map. It wasn't such a straightforward, these are the tools, now we're going to practice it this way, and this is how it's going to go, kind of a conversation tonight. And yet, I hope you get the idea of what we're after here when we're talking about wildly improbable goals.
Mm-hmm.
They tie into feeling states. They tie into the three B's. They tie into turtle steps. They all have a way of connecting. The conversation becomes fluid, and it becomes about, well, let's try this. Oh, that seems like a dead end. Well, maybe we'll go over here. Oh, that might work. Or, oh, I'm not really, wait, that. And it all sort of leads where it's meant to. So I want to thank you all so much for Coach the Coach 3. I've had a lot of fun. I hope you have too. I know we went through a lot of different tools. I hope you'll continue to practice them. I will be watching the discussion thread for the next few weeks as you continue to practice these tools, and let us know how you're doing with those turtle steps that we discussed tonight, you two. But also, I will see you down the road. I'm going to be teaching coaching your first client or setting up shop, one of those two classes. I'm with you again on May 2nd if you're in Section 2. That might not be you guys, but I'll also be teaching again down the road a little bit further too. So you'll hear my voice again. I'm usually on the phone with Martha towards the end of the time that you spend in training, so you will definitely hear from me. And you can always find me on Facebook and all those good places. You know how to reach me. So I thank you again for the honor and the privilege of being with all of you, and I will look forward to seeing you all down the road. Have a good evening, everybody. Good night.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Thank you.
Good night, Chris.
Bye.